comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of Nerds United here on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. I had to stop and think for a minute. I'm like, am I recording Nerds United or the Five Heart Podcast? What the hell's going on? This is Nerds United. This is the oldest podcast here on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. However, long surpassed by Mr. Huntsberger over at My 123 Cents, the podcast for most episodes. So I encourage you to check out all the shows. We like to think we have something for everybody. I know we don't, but we have pro wrestling, comic books, movies, pop culture, things like that. We have Nebraska Cornhusker Athletics, which is a real niche market. And we have kind of current events and again, more pop culture, different takes in positive cynicism. So, no, we don't have much on Scandinavian ice dancing. I don't know why that's what the direction I went on that. So specific to Scandinavia. I don't know. Icelandic ice sculptures. Don't have anything like that. And certainly don't have anything for sub-Saharan ice sculptures, because I know they have ice. I just don't think that it lasts very long to make a sculpture. That's purely my geographical cultural ignorance showing. That's just me being, trying to be funny. Oh well. Anyway, this is episode something or other, and just been a few weeks. Chad, so Kevin records and has new episodes every Monday, like clockwork. It's great. That's why he has 130 plus episodes, and I don't. Brian and I over at the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coronation, we try to record every week, and you know, it's kind of the off season for football. Nebraska is largely a football, you know, fan base, but basketball season is over. As I'm recording this, Nebraska is playing baseball in the Big Ten Championship, and they're currently losing to Purdue, which is sad. But I'm driving. Maybe that's changed since I shut it off at work and started my commute home. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So we try to record every week, but, you know, sometimes our schedules don't align. He's not feeling good. I fall asleep on the couch at 8:30. You know, shit happens. So we actually got together last Saturday night and recorded a new episode that aired or hit the airwaves on Sunday. So that was this past episode. And then with Chad is going to start recording every other week, so I figure I'll be the off week for him. And so so as a network, we'll get you three new episodes a week. That's the goal. Whether or not that happens with any regularity is suspect at best. Well, no, we'll always have My 123 Cents, the podcast with Kevin Huntsberger, and occasionally Chad Smart, because he's a frequent guest on there as well. But anyway, what are we going to talk about this time? Well, we got a couple of nice little trailers today to discuss. The first, and be honest with you, of higher importance to me, but largely because we've had, six seasons to sit back and enjoy it. We had a new trailer for Game of Thrones, which drops new season, seventh season on HBO on July the 16th, and I know that because it's 11 days after my birthday. Just mark your calendar, send me something nice. I like food and cash, shaving stuff. Anyway, no, don't send me it. Your gift to me for my birthday would be sharing the podcast, writing a review on iTunes. If you do that, I'm a happy sumbitch. So anyway, new Game of Thrones looks pretty awesome. It starts with us, and I saw it once low volume, so you'll have to forgive me if I don't have all the details exactly, but it starts with Cersei Lannister talking to Jaime, and she says, you know, we're being, you know, attacked from all sides, all directions, and it's like they're standing in a room that has Westeros, you know, painted on the floor, mapped out on the floor, and she basically says, we're going to conquer them all. I've obviously not a fan of Lannisters. They're good heels. They're good villains. Her especially. Jaime's a little bit more sympathetic ever since he had his hand cut off and has a little bit more of a human side. But there's not many redeeming qualities, in my opinion, of Cersei Lannister. Manipulative, kind of deceitful, villainous, evil, you know, all the things that have been said, you know, there are fairly true of that character. And Lena Headey, tremendous actress, and plays that part very, very well. Wonderful, wonderful actress. Seen several movies or projects that she's been involved in and have nothing but good things to say about her. It just so happens that this role, it's very easy to hate the character, and that's, you know, a credit to her portrayal as well, I believe. I'm so pumped for the fact that it appears that Arya Stark is finally home. I don't think she's been back in Winterfell or in the North since, you know, the very you know, early episodes of season one, when the Ned and the Stark family accompanied Baratheon, Robert Baratheon, back to King's Landing. So I am thrilled that she is finally returning home. Sansa Stark, of course, has been in the North, but none of the Starks are as well traveled as Arya. So I hope that that you know, strong character, I think tons of leadership capability in both her and Sansa Stark. So I think that, and I hope that her kind of world experience really allows her to step up and be a voice to be heard in Winterfell in the North. You know, I'm digging where it's going, because I'm, you know, the Stark family, I think, I mean, I've never come across any fans of the show who were anti-Stark, you know. Maybe they said, oh, well, you know, at the beginning they question Ned's decision to leave King's Landing, but at the same time, when you're beckoned by the king, what are you supposed to do, you know, without being outright traitorous, or maybe not a traitor, but insubordinate, I guess would be a better word. You know, if the boss tells you to jump, you know, unless you have bad knees or poor vertical like me, you know, then you better jump in some way. So I get that. You know, I think for the most part, the Starks are the, you know, sympathetic figure, you know, the family that most gets the viewers' sympathy. So I'm excited to see in season 7 and 8, you know, them kind of make a more offensive maneuver on King's Landing, and start to be a little bit more aggressive. Very excited to see where they go. Daenerys Targaryen, excited for her. And who would have thought, and I guess if it's in the books, which I have not read, then I, you know, the answer to my question was, well, anybody who read the books, but who would have thought that the unlikely landing of Tyrion Lannister on the shores of that place, you know, where the mother of dragons was, you know, that would result in the pairing, because he's going to bring all of this Westeros knowledge to her. I'm very excited for where season 7 will go, and eventually 8. And if they do any continuation with any of the characters beyond, you know, the series finale of Game of Thrones, very intrigued is that as well. Another trailer that we got, a little teaser that we got, was a little 30 seconds or so of Castlevania on Netflix, which I had talked about in my fresh content, 40 days, in part of my, you know, fresh content on jitterymonkey.com. Some, you know, the initial artwork that we had of it, of Dracula's castle, looked phenomenal. Initially, and pardon my ignorance, I kind of thought it was going to lend to a live action, but I think it makes more sense that it's going to be animated. Kind of has, I know it's going to be adult, I don't want to say adult themed, because that makes it sound, like Nerds United After Hours. You know, adult themed, you know, maybe not PG, but at least PG-13, or again, I don't want to say particularly for mature audiences, though people who grew up with Castlevania are, you know, my age now, or older, or very close to it, so could definitely get away with, you know, more grown-up storytelling. The art kind of reminds me of, like, I am going to stop myself from using the word anime, but it has that 80s animation style of like Voltron, or, you know, things like that to it. So I'm excited. Again, somebody might look at that trailer and say, hey, Mahachko, that is clearly anime, and you're an idiot. And I would say, you're probably right, and I probably am an idiot, but, you know, I just look at it as animation, not particularly anime. See what I did there? Anyway, it's all about the shun. So that looks good. Looks like that might be arriving a little earlier than we were initially what we initially thought. July as well, for Castlevania. So that'll be cool. What else do we have to talk about? I feel like I'm missing a few things. There is an article. It's one of those gallery or list type articles on comicbook.com that I have had pulled up for better part of a week, and I think that when they're bored at comicbook.com, that, you know, they just want to make, I don't want to say make stuff up, I'm not saying, you know, hashtag fake news or anything like that, but I do think that they will, you know, pull an idea out of a hat and then run with it based on opinion. The article in particular that I'm talking about is, it's like 12 or 15 of the most despised comic book character portrayals in movies, you know, things like that. And I looked at it, I'm like, I don't understand where you're going with this, especially when, you know, the first name that you see, and again, it's probably going in reverse order, so I'll say 15, but it also might be one, I don't remember, is Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin. Yes, we know that Dafoe is exceptionally expressive with his facial features, and we do know that, you know, when Spider-Man came out, they did kind of put him behind some kind of bulky mask, and a departure from the original Green Goblin costume, you know, from the comics and cartoons, things like that, where, you know, it was less spandex, and you got to remember that Marvel movies, to this day, really are not doing spandex. Marvel TV shows are not. The closest that I can see that we've ever had to spandex would be like the Man of Steel costume. And maybe that's just, I haven't paid close enough attention to, you know, and I don't think I'm alone, but what Batman, Ben Affleck's Batman wore in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. But you look back at the Nolan trilogy of Batman movies, you know, no spandex. So if you're not doing spandex, I guess shame on me. Spider-Man typically is seen in a spandexy type of costume, so slightly, you know, slight oversight on that one from my part, because yeah, you do go back to Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, and it is a spandex, you know, attire, so forgive me. But again, I think you can do that more with Spider-Man because that's all he has. I mean, that's, you know, it makes sense that way, I suppose. Green Goblin, I think you can have a little bit more freedom to interpret that costume the way you... And when the movie came out, I think we were all so thrilled to have a good comic book movie. And make no mistake that Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire, Willem Dafoe, Kirsten Dunst, that's a good comic book movie. It's told a great story. It was one of those things where, you know, especially now that we're at, you know, facing our second reboot of Spider-Man, Sam Raimi, I thought, did a great job, and you know, with that production, it holds up to this day, and it you know, again, tells a good story. You've got a good villain in there, and a good reason for him to be a bad guy. You know, he's trying to hold on to his empire in the face of a board of directors that is losing their confidence in him, losing their faith in him. So that's a great... But getting back, you know, I've gone off on a tangent. The list that comicbook.com... And I'll link it in this post, and you can decide for yourself if you agree or not, because I'm not that far from home, and I'm not going to take the recording in. You know, I'm gonna sit outside and cook some brats on the grill. So that's my plan for the evening, and you'll get this in the morning. But, you know, so it wasn't, you know, like Halle Berry's Catwoman, which, again, I haven't seen the movie all the way through, and I don't know anybody who has, but it's a situation where, is it Halle Berry's fault, or is it story, writing, you know, things like that, the overall kind of theme or mood or tone of the movie? You know, but that, the fact that that movie was, or you know, what I got through the list so far, that name was not on the list, but Willem Dafoe was, Henry Cavill as Superman was named. It's, you know, I mean, I don't, again, how can you despise the performance when that's only one aspect of, you know, his portrayal, their portrayal, is only one aspect of how that character came to be in that particular story. You know, you can't blame Henry Cavill for all of, excuse me, all of the, you know, mistakes, if you want to call them mistakes, and certainly plenty of people do, all of the missteps, everything that you didn't like about Man of Steel. You can't blame that on Henry Cavill. He's just a man who was cast in the role, and you know, he's doing what he's told to do. And as much as you may not, even though they are the star power, I think a lot of people tend to forget that when it comes to decision making, unless there's a creative control clause in the contract, actors and actresses, I think, and I'm not any Hollywood expert, but I think that they have far less power or say in how something goes than, you know, director, producer, writer, things like that. An exception may be, you know, like a Hugh Jackman, who portrayed Wolverine for something like 9 movies. He might be able to get away with it because chances are he was playing, you know, that character well before anybody came in to write a screenplay to tell the next chapter in the story. So again, there's a little bit of a, you know, exception to, there's exceptions to every rule, I'd say. Something to think about. Like I said, I'll have the list on, and the link, you can check that out, which is funny. I'm essentially sending you to comicbook.com to read an article that, you know, just to see if you agree with me or don't agree with me. To each their own. As I'm, you know, into my subdivision now, I'm trying to think if there's anything I'm missing. I don't know if you can hear my turn signal, but if you're listening, honey, I'm using my turn signal. She'd be listening. She would want to know, because she says I don't always, and I've been wearing my seatbelt this whole time. 2 for 2 on the driving safety and common sense. So anyway, I can't think of anything else right now. Hey, as I think of stuff, you know, I'll let you know. Gonna have some guests coming up in the next few weeks. Creators. So J. Peter Onitz, I know, is gonna come back on soon to talk about Broderick. And maybe, just maybe, he'll let me share a panel of that this post, just to give you a little tease. But that's a pretty good-looking story that he has drawn. And we'll talk with some other creators, fans, things like that in the near future as well. So take care. Spike your hair. Woo, woo, woo. Hey, if you've made it all the way to this part of the show, the end of the show, you deserve entertainment somehow. You might even get that reference. So enjoy, and we'll talk again soon here on Nerds United, the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.